Hey everybody, it's Corey Poindexter here with
Bob Feckety.
And this week on Small Package, we're recapping Raw, SmackDown, Backlash, the Cruiserweight Classic, and it was clobbering time at UFC 203.
For Mickey Gall.
For Mickey Gall. Alright everybody, we're talking about that and more this week on Small Package.
Stick around, it's gonna be good.
Hello.
Yeah. How you feeling?
Hello.
You gonna make it through this?
Yeah, I should. Hopefully.
I hope so too. Oh god.
Woo! Hey everybody.
Guys.
Welcome back.
It's time.
Small Package.
It's your favorite time of the week.
I hope so.
I don't care what else you do. This is your favorite time of the week.
I would really hope so. Hey everybody. First off, sorry for no Rossdown Live this week. Lots of crazy stuff was going on.
Lots of crazy stuff. Literally gunfights.
Yeah, Gabe had some kind of a shooting happen outside of his work, and everyone, I think, is okay. Gabe is okay. We know that for sure. Bob was also...
I was feeling sick, and I'm now recovering, but you can still tell I was a little sick.
So, lots of stuff. But we're back for a Small Package. And lots of stuff happened.
Yeah, man.
We were going over this chronologically.
Chronologically, it starts with UFC 203.
And then we have... Then it was Backlash. Then Raw.
Then Raw.
Then SmackDown. SmackDown.
Then Cruiserweight Classic.
Man.
All I've watched is wrestling these past few days.
It's been unreal. I watched some football, too. I managed to sneak in some football. Anyway, let's start chronologically.
Chronologically.
It was clobbering time.
It was short and sweet at UFC 203.
A lot of us were rooting for Mr. Combat Medic Punk. However, you know.
It just didn't. I knew it wouldn't. So Everyone who honestly thought he had a chance, I think were just fucking marks.
I mean, like James always says, anyone who gets in the ring and has a heart and all four limbs has a chance to win. Unfortunately, it was less CM Punk wrestling heyday Punk and more like a Braun Strowman match. So Mickey Gall, first off, want to just say how cool it was that he gave in to internet peer pressure and changed his entrance music to "Hey Mickey, You're So Fine." That was quite adorable. CM Punk came out to Cult of Personality, which everyone went nuts for. And that was about the last time that everyone went nuts. So
then the bell rang, and then the bell rang shortly thereafter.
So Corporal Major Punk, he starts to make a swing, like he's going to try to, like, you know, land a punch. And around this time, Mickey Gall says, you know, guns up, let's do this, Leroy Jenkins, and charges and just takes down Punk. And that was the last time Punk was on his feet until after the match. Took him down, threw some punches. Punk, to his credit, managed to get out of one submission hold and then got pounded in the face with just hammer fists and then tapped. And then tapped out. And, well.
I mean, yeah, the match lasted 2 minutes, 13 seconds.
Gross.
2 minutes, 14 seconds, however you want to count it.
Close. I think a tap out is still better than a knockout.
I mean, sure, a tap out is better than a knockout. He didn't go down cold on his back.
He did get his one ear is just like swole up, and then his eye was all fucked up.
But, I mean,
it's what we all thought was going to really happen, realistically.
Right.
Even if we hoped. I think there's a difference between hoping CM Punk would win and thinking he would win. We all hoped. Very few of us thought. And unfortunately, he did lose. But much like his post-fight press conference, I will agree that it is cool that he did it. He can now say he did it.
I mean, he hasn't quite become what he hated in the WWE, but he's damn near close.
Yeah.
Because he became a part-timer in the UFC, and he took someone else's spot on the card, but at least he put over new talent. That's the one difference. He still took like 400% payday.
Oh yeah. Overall, a lot of people were complaining, especially hardcore UFC fans are complaining. Mickey Gall only got a $30,000 purse for winning the fight, but with ticket sales and the promised contracts, it looked like CM Punk walked away with like almost $500,000.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get why some people would be like, that's unfair. The winner should get more money. It's like, yeah, but let's be for real. How many people are going to tune in to see Mickey Gall fight someone else?
Right. No, that he was the draw of that.
Right.
I'm not a UFC guy. So right. Was there even like the main events and everything of that match? Like because that wasn't the main event
of the card.
Yeah. Like, was there even another big draw for UFC fans?
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like a fucking Conor McGregor.
No.
Diaz match.
There was still a whatever. Good. There was still a good.
I don't know UFC.
There was still a good title fight afterwards. And there were some other good fights on the card. But definitely, I feel like the biggest draw for that night was CM Punk's debut. And let's be for real. Mickey Gall knew when he called out CM Punk that this is what was going to happen. I mean, it was a while ago during a taping of Joe Rogan's or Dana White's show. Dana White's has like a TV show, follows him around and stuff. And while they were having a taping and he was just there to watch a fight, which at the time, I don't think it was even a UFC fight. I think it might've just been a fight that Mickey Gall was in. And he got on a microphone and said, Dana White, I want CM Punk. And I think that's what got Mickey Gall into the UFC. So I could be wrong, but to my memory, that's what I've heard and read. So if that's the case, Mickey Gall knew. I mean, even if that's not entirely the case, accepting that fight with CM Punk, you know that that's the draw.
Yeah.
You're not the draw.
Yeah, no.
Unless you are Conor McGregor, Brock Lesnar, or Diaz.
Right? Even Mark Hunt wasn't the draw. He was the guy facing Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he had an argument with the whole juice to the gills thing, but Brock Lesnar still beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he said previous to the match. It was still the guy who is fighting Brock Lesnar said something. You know, it wasn't, oh shit, this was said by this guy. No, it was
the guy
fighting Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like you're not the famous person. You're the person talking about the famous person at that point. It is what it is. So CM Punk lost. He had a post-match interview where he was like, you know, hopefully he inspired people to just go out there and try.
Uh-huh.
He did say some heelish things.
Right, and then he immediately follows that up by being like, oh, by the way, that guy with spiky hair, he looks like a dick.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. It remains to be seen whether Chrysanthemum Melody Punk will fight again in the UFC. It is unknown. I would doubt it, but there's a chance. Who knows? One interesting thing I had heard, I think it was on an MMA podcast or a UFC podcast or a wrestling podcast, one of the three, that they were suggesting that maybe CM Punk enter the next season of The Ultimate Fighter, which is the show where like up and coming fighters
fight. If he can legitimately earn a spot.
Yeah, because you if you win The Ultimate Fighter house show, you get a UFC contract.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, he may still have a UFC contract. I think it was just a one fight contract, but
yeah, you know. I don't know. The way he called out that guy makes it seem like he's pushing towards the second match.
Look, it's fine by me. I mean, it's fine by me as if I have to give him permission to do it. But
Corey Poindexter said it was okay. Shit. Well,
okay, well then I can do it. No, it's you know, I think that it'd be fun to watch him fight again. And who knows, maybe the second time he could last a whole round.
Right? We can only dream.
We can only dream. So let's keep it rolling chronologically here.
On to Backslash.
And wow.
What a backslash.
It was a surprisingly good pay-per-view.
You want to know something surprising?
Yes, I would love to be surprised.
Rumors are saying that only 7,000 people were in the crowd.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That seems so small, especially considering how loud that crowd was at 7 points.
That being said, let me point you towards a couple other things.
Okay.
One, apparently they didn't promote it in the area that well.
Okay.
Two, they obviously didn't really announce the show until like a couple weeks ago, whereas most pay-per-views are announced months.
Right.
Three, football was on.
That's also true.
And I think, because they were in Virginia, I think the Ravens were playing like a home game.
They were.
So, I mean, you have the huge draw of like a home game of the Ravens.
Right.
I
mean, I know
personally. But I also was heard, like anecdotally, people were saying they were just handing out tickets at the Comic-Con that was across the street. Because I guess WonderCon in whatever the name of it was across the street. And I guess they were just like, come to the show.
Yeah, I mean, that would
suck. But imagine how dope of a day that would be. Oh, hey, let's go to the Comic-Con. Yeah, this is cool. Oh, man, so many cool. Free tickets to Backslash?
Yeah.
Best day ever.
What? I mean, the crowd was certainly loud and into it for a lot of the points, so that would surprise. Maybe they just extra mic'd
them. Yeah, maybe they just hot mic'd them.
Who knows, man? So we started off with Apollo Crews and
right. What a good match,
Barry Corbin.
What a good match! Like, holy crap, I was marked. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm an unapologetic Apollo Crews mark. And he's great in my
unapologetic?
Books. Uh-huh. He's great in my books. Yes, they do need to develop more of a character for him. Yes, but at the same time, he hasn't really had that much of an opportunity to, and I think if you give him like a couple more times to shine, like get him on fucking Talking Smack. Like he can work wonders on there. People would dig it. But that was such a good match. I was marking out.
It was definitely a solid kick. And I remember us, I think we tweeted it out, but we were definitely saying it here watching it. Man, the crowd was very into it. Very loud. I think at one point we were talking about how they were booing Corbin and cheering Apollo. And that the Raw writing staff was watching it going, wait, they're booing the heel? What is going on? It was a very intense, high-flying match. With some stiff moves, you know, just constant and a cruise with some of these standing flips and his just acrobatic moves, which is crazy. Ultimately, at the end of the day, Baron Corbin got the win via pinfall, but Apollo looked strong even in defeat. So who knows? Maybe this will be a good feud going forward. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I was just trying to quick look up the Meltzer rating on it. He gave it 2.5 stars. I enjoyed it more than that. But to each their own.
So next we had the women's six pack challenge for the women's SmackDown championship.
Believe it or not, he gave this 2.25 stars.
Oh wow.
Which again, I enjoyed it. There wasn't like a great story told.
There wasn't, but
every woman got her chance to do her moves and shine a little bit and show it. And that's really what this whole match was about, was really just introducing the women and what they do and who they are. And I thought it gave every woman their little moment.
It was really nice. And, you know, it being elimination meant that there was a little more time for everyone to get some of their spots in and then get eliminated. I think we had Alexa Bliss going out first. Then Natalya, Naomi, then Carmella eliminated Nikki Bella, mm-hmm. which was a cool moment.
Yeah, I was talking with friend of the show, Momozic.
Shout out to Momozic.
Friend of the show. And he was like, oh man, this match is so pointless. I was like, why? He's like, because it's Nikki Bella. I was like, you sure, dude? He's like, yeah, it's Nikki Bella. This match is pointless.
You sure about that?
And then when Carmella takes her down, he immediately was just sent me a message like, whoa, I'm into this now.
I mean, yeah, and also it really propels that Carmella Nikki Bella feud.
Yeah, and which, by the way, look at what SmackDown is doing. They have multiple women's storylines, and one of them doesn't revolve around the belt.
Uh-huh.
Can we imagine? Could we be so lucky? Well, actually, there kind of is one now with Nia Jax and
Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox, but
we'll see how long that goes because they're building Nia Jax to be a monster. So
because she already mowed through Alicia, let's see if that comes back. Or
so Becky Lynch winds up eliminating Carmella at the end, and Becky Lynch is your new SmackDown Women's Champion of the World. It was a fun match. Some botches. There was just a couple moments like that one weird freaking. I think it was. Naomi and maybe Natalya or somebody, but it was definitely Naomi trying to do the weird, like hanging on the ropes and then grabbing them with the headlock, the like Steiner style headlock, uh-huh. and then flip over the ropes, and it was just kind of messy.
They're trying crazy stuff though.
Exactly, so. And on the whole, it was really good, and there were some really cool spots. So yeah, at the end, Becky Lynch wins.
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of hate online for it, but I want to know your personal opinions.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on Naomi's weird little kicks?
Are you talking about her like short spinning kicks? Yeah, so the thing with Naomi,
you all just missed a wonderful recreation, guys.
The thing with Naomi is she's got a lot of physical talent. She has the assets in terms of in terms of in-ring ability to really go far, I think. She hasn't quite gotten the right booking, and it's sometimes weird how they finally allowed Nikki Bella to rebrand her moves so that it's not the rack attack and stuff like that. But they keep doing Naomi as like the rear view when she does the butt bump. And yeah, it's like,
I mean, that's okay. I don't know. The funny thing is every time it was on Raw, it was called, she calls it the rear view.
She calls it the rear view.
And then Mauro actually was like, and Naomi with the rear view. And I was like, no, the name is, she calls it the rear view.
She calls it the rear view. There's some really cool spots in here. It was a fine match and had a lot of fun. So next up we had the Hype Bros versus the Usos in the third semifinal.
Yeah, right.
To get into the contract championship match.
Which I mean, it was a good match and we got to see Usos fully heel
now.
But we all knew what was gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, see it from a mile away, that the Usos are going to beat the Hype Bros.
Yeah.
And the Usos healed out, and Ryder and Raleigh still had some good moves.
Yeah, Mojo looked good in the match. I think this was the best match for Mojo I've seen, because I've never watched NXT, so.
I still would say that this match was maybe one of the low points of the night, but if that's your low point of the night,
yeah,
probably not that bad of a night.
Well, it was definitely not the low point of the night.
Unless I'm forgetting.
Yes, you are forgetting it because it was that low.
What? Oh, wait. I remember. It's two matches away on the recap.
Yes, it is.
Son of a bitch. Anyway, we'll get there. Next up for me personally was match of the night.
This was amazing. This was Miz being a perfect classic WWE heel. Like, holy
to the letter,
shit.
Yeah.
This was like classic 90s, early 2000s heel.
Yeah. It was beautifully done. In ring, the action was great. The action, I would say, was probably like, in terms of like just physical move sets, I would say it was definitely a B+, A- quality. But when you factor in the in-ring psychology and the story that they told in the match,
right?
Jesus. What did Meltzer give it, by the way?
He gave it 3.25.
Eh, that's okay. A lot of people gave it like A ratings and stuff like that.
But
so we had Miz defending his Intercontinental Championship in a match against Dolph Ziggler.
And Ziggler, it should be noted, is basically just surrogate Daniel Bryan.
In the match, yeah. And also, before the match, backstage, the Miz said that he got in Daniel Bryan's face and said, by the way, when I win this match, we're going to renegotiate my contract, and I'm gonna get a payday out of this.
Right. Well, yeah, but it's just furthering the Miz-Daniel Bryan feud. Yes. And
so they have just a phenomenal match, and it was so incredible.
And you have Miz doing like mock yes chants. Oh, you have great. Miz doing a lot of Daniel Bryan's moves.
Oh yeah,
like he was doing like the kicks, and he won with a figure four leg lock, didn't he?
I'm
pretty sure.
No, he did not win with the figure four leg.
But he used it.
He did use it.
Yeah,
he won because of classic. Oh, right. Manager, yeah. Interference. Maurice with a old school style
spray to the eyes
while the ref was distracted.
Like fake mace or hairspray or I don't know.
It was something. It was
unmarked. But,
it led to a pin by the Miz on Dolph Ziggler. And also it should be noted that when he did the yes chant in the corner, which first off, just the look on the Miz's face, because he's expressing to the crowd, I know what I'm doing when I do this, and just slowly starts the yes chant, and then does like 3 or 4 of them, and then looks at the crowd, shakes his head, and does the Daniel Bryan no, and then hits his running through the second rope clothesline that he does.
Yeah.
Which is also, I just want to put that out. I know I'm Miz Mark and all that, but like,
it's a perfect move for him.
It's a cool move, right?
Because he ends up just being like,
hey, draped on the turnbuckle and
it's the perfect move for him.
I just love the Miz, and I hope that they keep the belt on him forever and just continue to push him as a big heel, because he's great. It was a good match. But then, okay, so it should be noted that between some of the matches earlier in the night, Randall Orton was backstage and Bray Wyatt came and
goes smashy smashy
stomped on his ankle. We had heard reports that Orton was not cleared medically to compete because of a concussion. Is that right? Was it a concussion? It was some kind of injury that he was not medically cleared to compete. Yeah, that night.
It's been reported that it was a concussion and that he got from Lesnar's elbows, but it went unreported for a bit. And then they thought he was going to be medically cleared for Backlash,
but
he wasn't. But now he's doing house shows, but like very limited. Mm. So people are like, he's not cleared, how is he doing? Like, apparently he did a house show like the next night. Because even on Backlash, he was in the ring and he did an RKO.
Yeah.
And then the next night, he apparently was in a tag match with Cena where he like took no moves, but right, did another RKO. And everyone's like, if he's not supposed to be able to work, why is he working?
Right. And so there's a lot of confusion with that. And it could have been,
starting to fear that it's like Bret Hart again, where he like gets a concussion, but then doesn't stop working and then gets another. Like,
here's stop. My thing is I'm just going to skip all the Randy Orton stuff for just a second and bypass that and talk about what I feel like is the bigger issue here. This could have been an opportunity to put Bray Wyatt over. Bray Wyatt could have beaten up on Randy Orton and then they not be able to have a match because he can't compete.
It was a really good moment. I really liked the point where they were just like, just count him out. And they count him out. And he's like sitting in the corner laughing like, I'm evil. And it's just like, yeah, he's fucking ruthless. So, and he's like forcing Randy to compete and he doesn't because he's obviously not in the ring.
And the forcing the guy to do the count out for the victory was great. It was great. And it made me go, oh, that awful Bray.
Right? And I loved it. And then they're like, have him have another match. And it's like, okay, great. This is another good idea. Let's have Bray have another match because he, you know, got himself out of his first one. Let's put him in another match.
So they announce it will be no holds barred. Again, fine. Against Kane. And again, I go, wow, Kane, he's older.
Right.
But I'm like, okay, cool. So you're going to basically have Bray beat the shit out of Kane, leave him dead in the ring, pin him. And then I'm like, you know what? Even better. Because now he's taken out two legends in one night.
And it's just like, holy shit, this is going to be great.
And the match itself starts off fine. Uh-huh. There was some, you know, it was a little awkward because, you know, Kane's a little older and it is what it is.
Still go pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, there was still cool table spot. Uh-huh. And also when Bray did the Jericho shrug into the camera, I fucking loved that. And then he did the running just drop of himself dead weight onto Kane through the announce table. It was all cool. I was fine with everything happening.
I think that's referred to as a running senton.
Running senton. I would have been okay if the match had ended with Bray getting a pin. I probably would have been like, eh, it was a little slow.
But they needed to fill time. Like, sure. I would have gotten it, and it would have put Bray over, and I would have fucking loved it.
But then, Randy Orton comes down to the ring.
Right, with the mock foot injury, but actual brain injury.
And he proceeds to sneak into the ring, and he only needs one.
And he hits one RKO
on Bray Wyatt.
And Kane 1-2-3's him.
For what? What does Kane need this one for?
I mean, I guess it furthers this pointless Randy Orton Bray Wyatt feud. But like, let Bray look strong in a feud.
And not end up taking the pin.
Right? Like,
it just doesn't. It doesn't make sense to not make Bray look strong. Okay. Look,
if you're curious, Meltzer gave it 2.75.
Woof. So let's just keep moving. So we had the Usos.
Which is really lame that he gave it a higher rating than both the women's title match and Usos Hype Bros match.
Yeah, I don't think it was that good. But
I mean, the match itself was fun, but the ending is just so abysmal. I'd take a whole star off of it for that.
Yeah, I would love to read further into how Meltzer gives these stars, because if the in-ring psychology and the story...
Subscribe to his Wrestling Observer at f4wonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to plug that out there because obviously we're taking a shit ton of his content and not paying for it. So
we had Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Also, if Heath Slater is on the winning team, he gets a contract. We had, first off, let's backtrack just a little bit to the greatest interview I've ever seen on WWE TV. Oh my God. When he is backstage with Renee and Rhino and is sitting in the, or was it Tom Phillips? It was in the social media lounge, I think. And he was back there and they're like, what are you going to do if you win? He's like, I'm going to, you know, jump for joy and dance and stuff. I'm going to buy a double wide trailer. I'm going to take my family to Golden Corral for dinner. And then to go to Dollywood. And then Rhino just like is sitting there and he goes,
like,
he says under his breath, yeah, I love Dolly Parton. And so his leader's like, yeah, how can you not like Dolly Parton? And he's like, also Golden Corral. And they start going off about the Golden Corral buffet, not a sponsor of the show. And yeah, then
KFC actually.
Yeah. And they're just going off about how much he's like, man, Golden Corral's so fancy. And he's talking about his above ground pool and his kids. His new merch, the I Got Kids, I Need This Job shirt, is fucking perfect. I am so in love with this tag team. And you know, I'll just go ahead and get it.
It really shouldn't be as good as it is, but it's way better than it should be.
Oh my God. It's just the characters. It's hard not to find them lovable, I feel like. Because, you know, you got... I love how it's Beauty and the Beast, where the beauty is Rhino and the beast is Slater.
Uh-huh.
It's just a perfect tag team, you know? They're fun to watch. They're entertaining as hell in interviews. And, hey, man, as of this point, they get shit done, right? So Slater and Rhino do get the win. It was clean.
Uh-huh.
They beat the Usos. I love
that gore.
It was a cool moment. Lots of Let's Go Slater chants. And then Slater at the end, screaming into the microphone, "We're getting a double wide, Beulah."
It's so funny. It's so, but oddly touching.
Right.
Like you love it and you honestly care for him, even though it's just so goofy. Yeah.
And then we had, so at this point in the predictions, Bob and I had agreed on every single outcome.
And we were right on every single one, actually.
Then we get to the WWE World Championship, or as they keep accidentally referring to it, the Heavyweight Championship. Man, AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose. I had Dean. Bob had AJ Styles.
And I am the second pay-per-view winner since I remember, because I don't remember what our records are before SummerSlam.
I think, honestly, I feel like you're three in a row. I think that
I'm so hot.
Wait, no. What was before SummerSlam? Was it Money in the Bank or Battleground?
Battleground.
It was Battleground.
Yeah, because it was the triple threat.
You have
triple threat,
to my recollection. And fans of the show, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. You won't, because you don't exist. But I believe that the last three pay-per-views now, you have won decidedly for the other two. This one, obviously, was a little closer.
Yeah, because you picked every single one I picked.
Whatever. But I think I won Money in the Bank, and then you won Extreme Rules.
Okay.
Anyway, so I thought this is a pretty fun match. I don't think it was the best match of the night. But I do think...
Yeah, Meltzer did. He gave it 4.25.
Hey, I mean, it was a really good match. I just thought the Miz Ziggler match had a better storyline in it.
Agreed.
But
AJ looks amazing as always.
And Dean
looked really good. He had a bunch of good offense. He didn't really use any of his... He didn't use the sloppy... I think it was sloppy chopped once.
Right.
He did use two wacky elbows, and he did use a couple look at me's, look what I can do, which is him running into the corner, for those who don't know, and then running back.
It's the run, and then he like skip hops up onto the middle turnbuckle, and then he turns just around and jumps down around. And he runs, and we, every time I can just think of Mad TV, the character that was like, look what I can do. Yeah, it was a very good match. Styles, just, man, some of those moves he can do, man. Like those 450 splashes, and I mean,
he's just too good. He's just too good in the ring.
I mean, you don't want any. None of us want any. So anyway, yeah, Styles winds up winning off of a push into the referee, then a dick kick city, as Mr. Zane always says, and then right, you know, he gets the pin, and that's the end of the night. AJ Styles is your champion.
Yeah, he's the new face that runs the place. He's the new champ that runs the camp.
I hate that phrase.
More on that later.
Yeah, so that was Backlash. I enjoyed it.
My favorite part of it was that I was like downstairs playing video games like 10:30.
Oh yeah, but it's also a short pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean they ended early. I mean, granted there weren't that many matches, but I'm okay with it. Less matches that are important that get a little extra time to be good.
Dude, SmackDown's like, been doing that on their regular show as well.
Just
think about what we were talking about the other night, that like we watched SmackDown for 2 hours and there's what, 2-3 matches all in?
Yeah.
At least if they're utilizing their time well and advancing storylines.
Right.
It's good.
And I don't remember who I was complaining to about Raw, if it was you or my coworkers, but like, you know, the show goes from 8 to 11. Stop doing pointless shit at 10:30 that makes the stuff that goes to 11 actually go to 11:15. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to watch 3 hours and 15 minutes of your fucking show.
Right.
Like, you know how long it goes. Make it go that long. Stop making it be stupid.
Well, I mean, we were talking about this either last week or on Ross Down Live with Gabe. The idea of what if they just made it so that you knew what time certain segments came on? You know, just like every cooking show and every reality show has a format where it's like, you know, that like at 3:05 they're doing introductions. Uh-huh. At 3:15 they're doing the first
opening round,
and then it's like 20 minutes later, second round, 20 minutes later, third round, and then it's finale. sure, you know, if I knew that it was like, oh, it's 9 o'clock, the cruiserweights are coming on. Oh, it's 10:30, the main event buildup is about to happen. Oh, it's, you know, if you knew what, loosely at least, you know, obviously you change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you loosely knew, okay, these are what times things start, I feel like there'd be a lot less pressure. It's just so much Raw to watch, though. I mean, this week's Raw was actually all right. I rather enjoyed this week's Raw. I still felt tired after 3 hours. And I think it went over by a few.
Right, yeah, and it's still, again, it's just like, stop giving us some pointless shit. Just like, you have so much to work with.
Right.
So only show us the good stuff that you have. Like, stop. Like, if this means that you don't have, you know, the some important, like, super important thing. Like, I would love a Raw where Kevin Owens maybe cuts a promo for 10 minutes and then doesn't have a match. Doesn't show up for the rest of the night because they instead focus on the other stuff happening. Like, I don't need a 20-minute main event with two commercial breaks in it every night of Kevin Owens and him tagging up with somebody against, you know, just, you have such a huge roster, especially with the cruiserweights coming this coming week.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I mean, they
cut, just so like much. Cut all of the bad ideas. Cause you have, it should not be that hard to fill 3 hours with how much talent you have on your roster. Like,
yeah, no, I agree with you, man.
And it'd be better if you did my idea of it being a 2.5 hour show and then the last half hour is a talk show and still let it be on USA and still get the commercial breaks and hell, make it fucking sponsored. Make it, you know, like the Mountain Dew kickoff show, but the Mountain Dew post show. I don't know.
I'd be fine like, with that too. That'd be great. I mean, like, it would give you something that you necessarily didn't have to watch, but that
because
would be entertaining.
It clearly works with Talking Smack. People love it. You know, it seems like it's good on the performers. They get their time to shine in like a more casual environment.
I mean, look what it did for Miz.
Right?
Look what it did for for Carmella.
Yeah, I mean, it's made them, it's given them an opportunity to tell their story in a little different way.
All right, so let's keep this ball rolling. We've already been going for, my God, over a half hour, but worth it because we got to talk about CM Punk. I tried to think of another CM, but we got to talk about CM Punk and Backlash, and those were great. So let's get to Raw. With Raw this week, we're not going to go through every single thing
because let's don't even look at your phone. Real talk. What's the most important thing from Raw this week? Don't even... Just tell me.
It propelled the women's feud.
Okay.
For Bayley, or for Sasha getting her shot.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is not in the triple threat because Ruru's God.
Uh-huh.
And Cesaro cheated to win match 5 against Sheamus.
Yes.
Other matches happened.
Yes.
Somewhere in between.
Yes.
So let's just start with,
like, real talk. That's all we need to talk about for Raw.
And Jericho had on Sami Zayn, and Jericho's a fucking awesome heel. That promo between the two of them,
that was good.
Was really good.
That was good.
And both then he of
just
them.
Beats him down.
Oh, it was really great. I loved how Jericho did it too, where he was like, oh, I have Kevin Owens' new phone number in my phone. I bet you don't even have it. And then when, you know, Sammy's like, look, I've known KO for a long time. He's going to fuck you over, Chris. I just can't believe you're too dumb to see it. And he's like, you know what's funny about that, Sammy, is Kevin texted me right before you came out here, and he said what you were going to do. And would you like to see what it said you were going to do? And he starts to show him the phone, and then hits him with it, and then, like, beats him up, and is just like, stupid idiot. Love Chris Jericho. He's in the prime heelness of his career,
I feel right? Like.
We opened up the show with the women in the ring. With Charlotte coming out with Dana Brooke and Mick Foley. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Charlotte had finally pushed Dana a little too far. with the disrespect thing, Charlotte was asking for Sasha basically to come out and to apologize to her. Sasha comes out and's like, I get my shot. Bailey comes out and is like, no, I get my shot because I just beat Charlotte twice clean. And it's like, that's a really good point. And then Dana slaps the taste out of Charlotte's mouth and is like, I want a shot. So they announced a triple threat match for the night. It would happen right next here on Monday Night Raw. Really good match.
Yeah, it was all right.
Like, I thought all three women did a really good job. And the end was so clean and so smooth. And I loved it because it was a very, very, you could tell it was a choreographed finish. And sometimes when it's like a very planned finish, it sometimes doesn't go quite as well as you thought it in your head. Really cool with Bailey pinning Dana, then Sasha swooping in and grabbing her legs and converting it into a, you know, bridge pin and gets the victory. So now Sasha has the match against Charlotte at Clash of Champions for the women's belt.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun match. I'm interested to see how this propels both what Dana's going to do now and if Bailey's going to try to get her shot soon. I think that it's probably leading towards Sasha Bailey at Mania. That's what I really honestly feel like. But yeah, very good match. What did you think about it?
It was good. I just, unpopular opinion, I don't like Sasha.
Is there something in particular you don't like about her?
I definitely don't like her promos and her mic ability and the fact that she says Mia.
Okay, so sorry, Bob.
And I, you know, I mean, I didn't watch her on NXT. Everyone's like, oh, she's such so good on NXT. She's such a good heel. I'm just like, eh. I don't see it.
I guess we'll just keep moving right on down the line. Freaking, you know. You know, Bo Dallas squashed another jobber.
Yeah. Huh.
I guess they're trying to make him look strong. I didn't like his rhyming bit that he did in the ring. It's kind of pointless. We talked about the highlight reel already with Jericho. That's me clearing my throat, but also trying to sound sexy.
It's not working.
It's not working?
No.
Oh. Moving right along. So Cesaro cheated to win match 5.
But at the same time, it's...
I mean, it's not a cheat.
He's literally backed against a wall and has to do anything to win, because if he loses the series.
Right. I would go ahead and say that it wasn't like a major cheat, like an eye rake.
Yeah, he's just...
He leveraged him.
Yeah, he put his legs on the ropes.
You know, we'd already mentioned also Nia Jax got a squash match. Enzo and Cass lost to the Shining Stars again.
No, this was the Nia Jax Alicia Fox match. This wasn't squash. This was her like throwing her through the barrier and everything.
Yeah, Nia Jax. I mean, okay, it wasn't a squash in the sense that it was short. It was a squash in the sense that there was no momentum built by Alicia Fox.
Yeah, but the squash match, at least as of late, implies a jobber. Oh. I feel.
Yeah, that's fine. New Day and Club. Just, it's bad right now. It's pretty bad.
It's bad.
This was better. New Day's promo this week was better than the old day thing. Jesus. And the fact that they were like, let's show that clip. And then we're like, psych, we burned that footage. You never get to see that again. That was fine. And then, you know, it's, you know, Raw, now looking back on it, it definitely was, there was a lot of good moments in Raw. But it was just so Jinder Mahal beating Jack Swagger, and then Jack Swagger's backstage interview about his contract being up with Raw, and then just so much silly stuff. I am glad to see that the Shining Stars are finally coming out as tourists, tour guides, real estate agents. I called that, didn't I?
You did.
Months ago, I said, you know what would make me not hate the Shining Stars so much? If it came out that they work for the tourism department of Puerto Rico. And they do.
Apparently.
It's great. And did you see the little pamphlets they were handing out to people? Somebody opened one up and showed it online.
Yeah.
And it's a full mock. It's like what they did for Jurassic World, like where they made full mock brochures and like
nice
guide maps. It's like a full mock brochure about some condo timeshare in Puerto Rico that the Shining Star, that Epico and Primo run.
Nice.
It's, I was like, that's kind of funny.
Well, yeah. And, Corey Graves stayed there and he loved it, even though there's only three walls.
Oh my God. So then, you know, Mick Foley tells Seth Rollins, don't interfere in this fucking match. Do you understand me?
Fucking match.
Yep. And then Roman Reigns is Kevin Owens. If Roman Reigns wins, he'll be inserted into the match at Clash of Champions. And very good match. I thought it was a fucking amazing match.
It was. But again, like, why did they drag, if they knew the match was going to go so long?
Then why did they drag out stuff previously?
They could cut a lot of fat to let this end at 11.
Right.
Instead of 11:10 or whatever.
Well, they didn't, and it ran long, but it was still good. Kevin Owens had Roman Reigns on the outside. They were fighting, and then Seth Rollins came out of nowhere, attacked Kevin Owens, right, which meant that Kevin Owens wins by DQ, so he both gets to attack Kevin Owens for some of the shit he was talking to him backstage, and Roman's not in the match. So then Mick comes out with security guards, escorts Seth out of there, and is like, I told you.
Start this shit back up.
Yeah, so they restart the match. So
Roman could be in the match.
So then they continue again for a few more minutes. It gets good again. Picks up right where it left off. And then our Lord and Savior, Rusev, comes out of nowhere. He's supposed to be on a
26-day-long honeymoon.
26-month honeymoon? My heart couldn't stand that. Rusev comes down to the ring, interferes, costs in the match. Lana's up on the stage, looking like Lana. Roman Reigns loses.
Yeah, I mean, there's still interference, but he's definitely not in title contention, and this allows him to start back up his feud for the U.S. belt.
Yeah, and it was a good show. I had a lot of fun, but let's just keep moving right down the line, because we have
SmackDown
results, and then we can get to the Cruiserweight Classic. Oh, man. So, anyway, Cruiserweight... not Cruiserweight Classic.
SmackDown
from September 13th.
Like I said, there's only, what, three matches in this whole night?
We had a really cool opening segment with AJ Styles coming out, and then
He's the champ that runs the camp.
And then John Cena comes back.
Uh-huh.
And John Cena, fire in these promos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. John Cena's
on top of his game promo-wise lately.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was even better than, like, the last couple years Cena. It was, like, really good promo work. Then Dean comes out
and literally is the tweener between the face and the heel.
He is, but he still did great on his promo work too. Like him Cena.
I liked it. Like I think Dean Ambrose being a tweener is what he should be, because his character should not be a straight face.
Yeah, and so Dean Ambrose comes out there and he gets into John Cena's face. They spit some fire at each other. These promos are hot. And then Shane McMahon comes out, and man, I'm just like, Shane, sometimes, man, just stay the fuck out of it.
He got like two or at least two entrances at the SmackDown.
Which, okay, I will say this. I still thought this week's SmackDown was better than this week's Raw. That being said, Shane, cool it. Just a little bit. Dial it a little bit back. Anyway, also, you don't need a full entrance. He could have just come out there with no entrance.
Right. Like,
whoa.
Especially the second time. The second time where they did the, you know, money pop. Like
Even that first one, though, he could have just come out and been like, whoa. Why are my top stars all in the ring right now about to throw down? But instead, Shane got an entrance. Sets
up a tag match.
He sets up a tag match for that night, but also that it will be a triple threat at the next pay-per-view. So
big old man
Dean Ambrose will get his singles rematch.
This was weird because it more or less kind of confirmed that AJ's retaining, because he was like, Dean Ambrose will get his single shot later, and so it's like, oh, so if there's gonna be a triple threat,
I mean, I guess if he wins, then he gets a
single shot later.
If he wins, he wouldn't get it, and if Cena wins, he'll still get his singles rematch.
I
get what they were going for. So then we had the Usos versus the Hype Bros, and the Usos won the rematch.
Yeah.
More vignettes for Curt Hawkins.
He was supposed to debut, I thought.
Already. right?
He was apparently like the opening match of the main event tapings that happened right before. But like, I'm pretty sure last week they said that this week he was going to debut.
Yeah. And I don't think he did. And it's
weird. At least it was him in it. It wasn't, you know, the shitty like cutout of him with the facts plastered on the screen. Like, it was at least him being live action.
Yeah.
But still.
I don't know. I'm kind of over his vignettes. They've been running for so long.
He needs to just come out and who cares? Like, honestly, I don't care about him. Like, they even made the Primo and Epico thing, at least like I want to see them in the ring. Like him, I don't even fucking care about.
So then Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, and The Miz had an in-ring segment, and Ziggler was wanting a rematch, and Daniel Bryan was like, yeah, that sounds great. And Miz was like, no, he hasn't earned one. And Maryse got involved and was like, I didn't do anything. So basically, it looks like it's going to be Miz versus Ziggler in a rematch with Maryse. No one.
Yeah,
with no one at ringside. But Miz didn't really seem like he agreed with it, and he left with his belt. Yeah,
that was kind of left open air, so we'll have to see the fallout of that.
Whatever, man. Like, you know, I got 4 weeks, right?
This is me being excited because there's long-form storytelling.
Instead of just like, got to get it all out there.
Because, I mean, we already have the main event for the next pay-per-view.
That's true.
So at least they're drawing
the rest of it out, yeah.
I mean, they're definitely pushing towards a couple other stories, which is great, but it wasn't, here's the next pay-per-view.
So AJ Styles had to find a tag team partner to fight John Cena and Dean Ambrose. He asked Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin was like,
nah, I want a match.
Yeah, I'd rather be your opponent than your partner.
Right, which is exciting because it shows that other people not in a storyline, you know,
want the belt
to be the heavyweight champion. Or world champion.
Sorry. Corbin fought Apollo Crews. Or did he? Because as he was starting to fight him outside of the ring before the bell was rung, Jack Swagger, whose contract expired at 12:01 a.m., who you can now call Swagger Jumping, he's like, I don't even remember what he said. He was like, Jack something Swagger. Jack, I don't know. He said his name funny and then was like, had his hat backwards and was like,
oh yeah, he looked weird.
Do you kids like skateboarding?
Right, but
yeah, he promised it's going to be a new Jack Swagger. The We the People chant did get a pop twice, but the rest of his promo kind of felt flat. Anyway, Becky Lynch cut a promo saying that she was going to be a fighting champion. And then we had Naomi versus Alexa Bliss versus Nikki Bella versus Carmella versus Natalya
contender,
in a 5-pack match to determine the number one contender for the Women's Championship. Not elimination. And your Alexa winner,
Blues.
Your winner is Alexa Bliss in what was a pretty fun match.
Mm-hmm. Pretty fun match. That does set up a match for the pay-per-view. So there's two matches set up.
Yeah, but I mean, sure.
But
they have time to build story for it, though.
Yeah, it allows time to build story between the two.
Right.
Because that hasn't been established anyway.
AJ Styles asks Kane. Kane says no. Heath Slater comes out and signs the contract. Really cool moment. Crowd was popping. Loved Heath Slater thanking everybody. Talking about swerves, his
just straight up a good feel good moment.
And speaking of swerved, I forgot to mention that at Backlash there was one more backstage segment where Heath Slater pooped his pants and then tried to convince Renee and Rhino
that they were on swerve.
He's like he thought the mics were off and that the camera had cut off, and he's like, oh man, now the camera's off, man, are you feeling weird from those tacos we ate earlier? Because like, I feel really sick, man, I'm gonna shit in my pants. Loved it. Anyway, so he signs his contract, then the Ascension comes out and challenges them for the tag titles.
Ascension on TV, no way.
Yay. And Rhino gets the gore for the victory.
Yeah,
and
well, you knew that was coming.
I love, oh my God, I don't remember who said it. If I remember who says it, I'll tweet out credit for this line because I thought it was amazing. But it was on a podcast where somebody said, oh, Heath Slater used his finisher, Rhino.
Yeah.
I love that. So then AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan are backstage, and Bryan says, we found you a tag team partner. They did a Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt segment that was meh. I mean, Bray cut a really cool promo up on the screen after Randy cut an alright promo in the ring. Then Bray appeared at ringside, and I was like, oh, this could be good. And then it went...
Rowan was there.
And then Rowan appeared, and Rowan actually fought him, and Bray was gone. And I was like, well, okay then. So, anyway, finally...
And Rowan loses, in case you're wondering, to an RKO.
So AJ Styles comes out after John Cena and Dean Ambrose, and we find out that his tag team partner is James Ellsworth.
In case you're wondering who that is, that was the first jobber that lost to Braun Strowman.
Oh my god, they showed...
No chin and a weird-looking face.
The 2K17 fan art they showed on Talking Smack.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Speaking of awesome...
So James Ellsworth ends up getting a skull crushed finally into the Connor's Cure logo on the ramp.
Wap, wap. And the Miz, the one dealing out said skull crushing, said, I am the main event. And he tag teamed with AJ Styles. And unfortunately, the Miz ate a pin from John Cena, but it was a really good match.
Yeah.
High flying, action packed. Everyone looked pretty good in it. But John Cena is John Cena. And after the match, Dean Ambrose hit John Cena
with the Dirty Deeds.
With the Dirty Deeds.
So the Dirty Deeds is still like the most protected finisher right now.
Oh, it's so crazy.
No, like, because he didn't even get to hit it on AJ in his match at Backlash. Oh, so. Right.
Yeah, he almost got
like,
it.
He teased twice. It, but he got AJ got out of it both times. So, like, nobody's kicked out of the Dirty Deeds yet.
It's pretty crazy. Well,
since, like, Mania.
It's been a while. All right, so we've been recording for like, 55 minutes, and we still have to do the Cruiserweight Classic.
Okay, well, let's just move on.
We have to. So.
CWC.
Man. If you have not watched the Cruiserweight Classic yet and you're waiting to watch the finale, because it was only 2 days ago, right. Stop fucking listening. Come back to us after you watch it. Like, it is
the full 2 hours, but you can cut out like 30 minutes of that if you
want. Yeah, there was a really good Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar tag team versus DIY Ciampa Gargano. You can skip that, but there's a lot of really good moves in it. It's worth it. If you have the full 2 hours, watch the full 2 hours. If not, you can basically skip ahead to like 10 minutes in, watch the two semifinals, then skip ahead about a half hour and watch the final.
Yeah.
So your first final, Grand Metalik
versus Zack Sabre Jr.
What a match.
It was good. It was good.
I mean, it was, there were so many cool moves in it. But I mean, that's every match.
Yeah, it started out like insane. Like Zach or Grand Metalik just comes out and just hits like every fucking move he has.
What a rush!
Like, it was insane. Sabre Jr. Like he looks okay. I don't know.
You're not as big on Zack Sabre Jr. though. I like him, but yeah, no. I mean, Grand Metalik really had this for a lot of the match. Some really good, really great counters, especially on submissions and pins that these two had. It was
a good technical match.
Man, such good wrestling. And your winner is Grand Metalik, which led to our second semifinal.
I don't know if it's an upset, but
you know what? I mean, on paper, you could say that both of these were upsets.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people thought that we were going to get Zack Sabre Jr. Ibushi for the finals. Spoilers, we did not. So TJ Perkins fights Kota Ibushi in what I think was probably match of the night.
I have Meltzer ratings here. He gave Grand Metalik Sabre Jr. 3.75.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave Kota Ibushi and TJ Perkins 4.5.
And then what did he give the final?
4.25.
So I agree with Meltzer. I thought it was match of the night. Many good reversals.
It was amazing.
Some really hard strikes.
Yeah. Wow. It was a brutal match. It was really well told too, Ibushi's so famous with his legs and his kicks and he also has an injured neck. And so what did TJ Perkins do? He countered all of the leg shots and he only won because he put a submission hold onto his neck.
And, you know, they also had protected Ibushi's finisher.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
For the whole tournament.
He hit that Golden Star Powerbomb or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess that's the match. And then, holy shit.
TJ Perkins kicks out.
And then he follows that up with that crazy slam with, like, and TJ Perkins kicked out of that, too. And I was fucking going wild.
Yeah.
I was losing my shit.
It is. It's unreal how many. And here's the other funny thing is I already knew who won the tournament. I had already read a spoiler and knew that TJ Perkins won. And I was still like, oh, man, wait, what?
Yeah. See, like you told me that the person winning would debut with the belt on Raw. And I was like, OK, well, that means that obviously Sabre Jr. and Ibushi aren't going to win. It's right. going to be Metalik. And so, like, Metalik wins the first round. I was like, okay, it's going to be Metalik over Ibushi as the final.
Right.
And then, like, Ibushi hits that powerbomb. I'm like, yep, here it comes. 1-2. Holy shit. It wasn't. Like, wow, I was freaking out. I thought this, like, I thought Metalik had it and over Ibushi. And, man.
What a match. Like, that was such a great, just a great match. And then we got, you know, some cool down time. We got some vignettes. We got that really good Cedric Alexander Noam Dar versus
Ciampa Gargano. Yet, but
it's good. Check it out.
He gave it 3.75 as well.
It was a lot of fun. And then we have Grand Metalik and TJ Perkins come back out.
When the filler match gets 3.75 from Meltzer, like,
that's good.
You done a good show.
And so the two of them get into the ring. They show the
Metalik versus Perkins.
They show the trophy, and then it's time to play the game.
Sorry about that, y'all. I got a text message. Whoa.
And then it was time to play the game. Triple H came out. Yeah,
he came out, showed the new belt, and the winner would be debuting on Raw in a couple days with the new belt. And I think it looks good. I've seen some hate on it. But I think it was a pretty looking belt. It's got a cool, like, lavender purple strap and nice shiny silver buckles.
I'm fine with it.
I think it looks pretty.
I honestly kind of felt like they maybe shouldn't have done a bluish colored strap. It's going to be on Raw.
Well, it's pretty clearly purple.
It's like purple, which I get was the CWC's color.
Uh-huh.
So I'm okay with that. I would have preferred like a neutral, like a black, a white, or gray. Or a shade of red because it's going to be Raw's championship. But again, I'm fine with it, especially if they make it part of the next Cruiserweight Challenge next year.
Uh-huh.
If they go like, oh, hey, the champion has to enter and the championship's right, on the line.
Has to go up. Yeah.
So that'd be really cool. I overall loved Cruiserweight Classic. This whole thing was just
A++++.
The fact that they got all these
high enough rating,
all of these wrestling promotions to play along, even promotions that don't get along together.
Yeah,
and they all
just a lot of indie guys and people who would not get a big spotlight otherwise get like huge exposure.
And WWE picked up a few really good people along the way.
Oh yeah, a bunch of great talent coming to the Cruiserweight division.
It's very cool.
To some match of the year candidates, you have like two in the earlier rounds, and then the TJP versus Ibushi match. Like,
yeah,
all definitely need to be in the conversation for match of the year.
Man, it's been a good year so far for match of the year candidates because I mean, it was just a couple months ago that we were saying, wow, how could anybody top Zayn Nakamura?
Yeah, right. And then you got fucking Gargano versus Ciampa.
Yeah.
And you got Alexander versus
Osprey Ricochet could
Ibushi.
Be. I mean, this is before that, but Osprey Ricochet could be, but stylistically, it's like very different than the other ones. Theirs was much more flips. These were like matches.
And then you also have the KO Zayn match from Battleground?
Yeah. Jesus.
And then you also have the one that we got to see live.
Oh, at Extreme Rules?
At Extreme Rules with Cesaro and KO and Sammy and
Miz.
Yeah, that was...
Wow.
A lot of great matches this year, y'all.
Yeah. It's been a kind of shitty 2016 for a lot of reasons, but for wrestling, it's actually been pretty good. Since WrestleMania. Post-WrestleMania. Anyway, any other news you want to talk about real quick before we get out of here? I know Paige is allegedly staying now.
Excitingly, is supposed to be on TV on Monday. according to her brother, but we'll see.
I mean, I'll believe it when
she was also apparently in attendance at WCPW for El Patron's debut on the indie scene. I know you like Alberto Del Rio, and you also like WCPW, yeah, so I don't know if you've watched the taping yet.
I've not watched the taping yet.
But Paige was there, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I'd like to see her come back and actually do something. Some rumors that are going around is that Kurt Angle may come back. Some people are speculating that it may be related to next year's 2K18 video game release, and that Goldberg may come back as part of this game's hype and push. Well,
yeah, that got brought up with Brock Lesnar calling him out on Facebook too. Yeah. So
Kalisto has a back injury.
Yeah, but he was at the CWC taping. Yeah. So good to actually see him. And Sasha Banks got labeled as Jack Gallagher.
That was pretty funny to me. I lolled a little bit just when they cut to Sasha Banks, and then it just had Jack Gallagher underneath of her. I was laughing pretty hard about that. So goofed.
Yeah, it was cool though seeing the other contestants like in the crowd watching the finals and reacting and being like, "Ooh, well now I see what I'm up against," you know, kind of.
Also, rumors going around is that there may be a women's tournament similar to the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh yeah, that's coming. Could be as soon as early next year.
Mm-hmm. And also,
that was reported on Up Rocks too. Like that's not even
a wrestling some,
like, shitty dirt site. Yeah, that's
which would be really cool. I think that'd be really cool to do an indie women tournament like that. And also, they may do an NXT takeover in MSG.
Oh,
like before the year is done.
Big scale.
Which would be crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's actually crazy because honestly, like, look at the women's scene in SmackDown. Like, it's great. You have a lot of stories, a lot of women getting highlighted. I don't know if I'd add any more women to SmackDown. But on Raw, like, everyone except Summer Rae right now is pretty much getting utilized on Raw. So, like,
right.
Where, and if Paige is coming back, where are you going to put her? But then you have Asuka. Where are you going to put her? But then you have, like, Ember Moon and a bunch of other up and comers in NXT. Where are you going to put them?
Emma's supposed to be coming back.
Where are you going to put her? Like, you got to stop crowding these women. You got to, honestly, like, the rest of the call-ups, you know, where are you going to put Samoa Joe? Where are you going to put Nakamura? How are you going to make them relevant to what's already going on?
Right.
Like,
well, that's part of the reason
they're going to have to stop, like, crowding themselves, honestly.
That's part of the reason that Swagger got moved to SmackDown was because they were like, wow, even though we have 3 hours to fill, we're already full up. We need to move him to SmackDown. And I thought it was kind of funny how they did it. I was like, why would his Raw contract?
Yeah, you were very questioning on, like, why the fuck would they push Jinder? Like, why do they need to push Jinder? Like, it makes sense if Swagger's just bouncing at the end of the night.
That,
like,
was fine. But I was just confused why they were saying, like, his Raw contract was up at midnight, because I was just like, wasn't the draft just a couple weeks ago? Why is no one else's contract up?
Yeah.
Why was Jack Swagger and not, like, let's say Big Show signed to a 1 week contract, or, you know, 3 week contract, whatever the fuck? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. Anyway,
but I'm just afraid that WWE, you can't push everyone, you know, and maybe, I'm afraid that they're going to start crowding themselves at the top, especially if they have these call ups coming soon.
Man, you know what I hate to even think about saying this, but maybe make a new show.
Oh, fuck, no. No, I don't need more wrestling in my week.
Maybe the solution is to make a new Thursday night show and put some, because you're going to have such good talent coming up from NXT. NXT is getting a whole new batch of call-ups to, like, you know, of signings of people who are developmental. It'll be a while before they're really ready. So maybe you do just, well,
maybe this is what they're planning with their Evolve sponsorship.
Oh dear.
Right? It's just being able to actually use Evolve as a real developmental.
Maybe.
Like Ohio Valley was, and FCW was.
Right.
But like, because NXT isn't even really developmental anymore. NXT is pretty much its own thing at this point. Like, are you going to say that Bobby Roode needs development? Like, are you going to say Nakamura needs development? Like, they need slight adjustments to go up to the main roster. Sure. Like, they need to adjust to the WWE style and you know.
Maybe, but maybe you don't. Maybe you keep them where they are, where they work. Because in the NXT crowd, Nakamura works like gangbusters.
That's
Samoa
true.
Joe works like gangbusters.
Samoa Joe would work well on the main roster.
Samoa Joe would be good.
I don't know how well Nakamura would.
I don't know either. And honestly, like, Asuka is another one that may or may not translate well to the Raw audience. Bayley is still one that I feel like time will tell. Because yeah. I'm worried that her whack inflatable balloon guy gimmick
She's been doing well, though.
No, she has. A lot of people know her, and plus her in-ring performance is good. So, but yeah, dude, I don't know. We'll have to see how all these people pan out. We'll see what they do. Anyway, guys, we've been going for a while now, and
it's the middle of the afternoon, and I got to get back to work.
So, we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. But I just want to thank you all again for tuning in. I am Corey Poindexter. This is Mr. Bob Pecketty. You can find me on Twitter at CB Poindexter. You can find Bob at Bob Pecketty. And you can find both of us online at Small Package POD. That's POD like podcast or the band.
Enough.
Thank you guys. Won't. I will never stop.
I know.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Check us out next week. We'll be back with more Small Package.
Yeah.
Oh,